A story about service and mission. This is a true one. In 1882, a man called Charles Studd was a member of the English cricket team, which was beaten by Australia for the first time. Ah. Studd was a Christian, was wondering what to do with his life. And in October 1884, he said, "How could I spend the best hours of my life working for myself and for the honours and pleasures of this world while thousands and thousands of souls are perishing every day without having heard of the Lord Jesus Christ? And they're going down to a Christless and hopeless graves." So he went to a missionary meeting and heard John McCarthy tell of the great need for workers in China. And through this, Charles Studd became convinced that God was leading him to China. It sounds like many stories where missionaries are called to serve somewhere. When he broke his news to his mother, she was devastated and she begged him not to go. The whole family went into a kind of gloomy depression. He could not sleep at night with all the conflict and confusion in his mind. And on the night of the 4th of November, he was in London, standing on King's Cross Underground Station, waiting for the Bayswater train. He took out his little pocket Bible to see what God would say to him, and he just opened it. It was Matthew 10:36. "A man's worst enemies will be the members of his own family." So he took it that God was indeed calling him to mission work. So he worked in China, India, and Africa for over 40 years, doing great service and leading people to Christ. So there are wonderful stories of people doing God's work full time. Amen. Right, one of our verses this morning, before it goes up on the screen, too late. Do we all know it? John 3:16. All together then, "For God so loved the world that he gave his own only son." That all of his... I'm getting tangled up. "We're about to have eternal life." Yes. Different versions creeping through there. "Only begotten and one and only." You trip over the words. It's one we like to... Yeah, pop it up on the screen now. See. It's quoted a lot, you know, especially in evangelistic terms. But to those who don't know the jargon, what's it mean that he gave his son? And it all goes back to sacrifice, which is the theme of the talk this evening. And if we go right back to Genesis, when the time of creation, to start with, well, in the beginning, God, the first words in the Bible. And there was nothing there, and then he created over these 6-7 days. And each stage was perfection. "Let there be light." Foom. And as you read through it, at the end of each day, it says God saw what he'd done, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. Then he created man, and it was very good. There's that emphasis there. This is the sort of crowning glory of his creation. He created man and woman, mankind. And seventh day was his day of rest. And we all need a time of rest, don't we? Or we'd be exhausted. So there was that perfection, this perfect relationship between God and Adam and Eve. And everything was fine until the devil interfered. And they hadn't been accustomed to this. They were just very trusting. And the devil said, "God didn't really say, did he?" He brought all these doubts in and started telling lies. And they went and did what had been suggested, and they broke God's laws. He told them not to do certain things. And that introduced sin into the perfect realm. And it broke that relationship. And that's the nature of sin. If you think about it, sin breaks relationships. It hurts people. And so that relationship between God and Adam and Eve was broken, and they were cast out. And this tree of everlasting life, they put angels in front of it waving swords, you know, "You cannot come in here. The sin is banished from this place of perfection." And, you know, Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. Here we're talking about eternal death, spiritual death, eternal separation from God. And that is the concept of hell. An absent, total absence of love. Total separation from the source of love, from God. And this is the holiness of God. He's perfect. No sin is allowed near him. No sin is allowed in heaven. And because people are born sinful, and we all sin. You know, I've had people say to me, I've never done anything really bad. I said, well, did I ever tell a lie? Yes. Did I ever steal anything, however small? Well, yes. So I'm a liar and a thief. Why should I go to heaven? And to use computer speak, it's the default setting is everyone goes to hell unless that sin is dealt with. And God instituted the Ten Commandments. We know about this. And in a way, he's saying, I love you, so don't kill. I love you, so don't steal. I love you, so don't tell lies. Don't want things that other people have got. It's bad for you. I love you, so please don't. And this is when the concept of sacrifice was introduced. In Genesis 8 was the first mention of it. And it's quite an important thing to understand that, you know, we know sin requires punishment. If you rob a bank, steal a car, murder somebody, get involved in fraud, sin requires punishment. And when we're kids, if you're naughty, you get smacked. It's a very effective means of correction. Oh, doing that is bad. I mustn't do that. And it says bring a child up in the way he should go, and one day he will return to it. We're still praying. But it's, you know, sin requires punishment, and that's part of God's justice, God's law. And that punishment, the wages of sin is death, this is, you know, the consequences of doing wrong is that we are separated from God. That's a broken relationship. And if this punishment is death, the only way to put that right, this is where sacrifice came in, that an animal would take the punishment of death instead of me. It substitutes, I identify with the death of that animal, and then the animal is killed in a ritual slaughter. So, I mean, in modern day, if we do rob a bank, commit a crime, end up in court, we pay the price. It's a fine. It might be prison. It used to be hard labor. I don't think they do that anymore. In days gone by, you were sent into exile, transportation to Australia, in places like that. And punishment might be death. But it was the way things are. You know, we've taken God's laws, and the whole of British law, most of it, is based on God's laws in the Bible, isn't it? And it was all built up on that. Gosh, which king was it? Was it King Canute? One of the ancient kings first set up the laws based on biblical principles. So sacrifice came in, and it's important enough that it's mentioned 357 times in the NIV Bible, all the way from Genesis through to Revelation 2. And this punishment goes on the animal. It's a substitute. So you'd go to the priest, you'd have to buy the animal, and you know Jesus chewed out the money lenders, the money changers in the temple, so that you go in, you weren't getting a good exchange rate, if you like, and you ended up paying more for the animal, but you had to pay for it. And then it was slaughtered. It might be a pair of doves, or a lamb, or a goat, or a bull. You know, for big things like the sins of the family, or even the nation, they'd sacrifice a lot of bulls. And It's not a pretty sight. I did see it once on television, and although I didn't show the animal, its throat was cut, and this bull bellowed with the pain. And you could see the blood just hosing out, and after a few seconds it collapsed, and a few more seconds it was dead. But that death, the punishment went on the animal instead of on the person. You know, it's that serious. And in some cases, well, could we see Leviticus 16 readings now? And let me just call this out here. This is instructions to Moses. And he talked about Aaron offering a bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for his sin and his household. And then two goats are presented to the Lord and cast lots, one to be sacrificed, one to be a scapegoat. And you'll come out of the altar that's before the Lord and make atonement for it. You just take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on the horns of the altar. You know, this is a messy business. They got it all over their clothes, so they're perpetually washing. It's very difficult to get blood stains away unless you've got personal biological. You know, it was a messy job. And so he'll sprinkle the blood on it with his finger 7 times to cleanse it, consecrate it from the uncleanness of the Israelites. When Aaron's finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He's to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites. So he's substituting, he's putting the sin onto the animal, and by substitution the animal will take coming punishment. So all their sins, and put them on the goat's head, and he shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the desert. And then it's potluck whether it survives or not. But deserts are pretty dry places. And you hear the term scapegoat, don't we? It's used today. You know, we're blaming somebody instead of taking the blame ourselves. It happens a lot. You find someone else convenient to make the scapegoat. And this is where it comes from. It's an old Bible term, that the blame, if you like, it's not really blame, it's the goat takes symbolically the sins of the people and out into the desert. But these days scapegoat is a sort of, well, it's a bad thing to do. It wasn't done in a holy way. It's just blaming somebody else, so that takes the punishment instead of me. And it happens in politics, doesn't it? So hand on the animal, and this happens with sacrifice too. The throat is cut, the animal dies as a substitute, then that sin is forgiven. Washed away, dealt with, fine. It might be because you stole something from the market. But then 2 weeks later, there's a punch up down the pub, and that's another sacrifice. And so as you go through life, you're continually picking up these black marks, and there's another sacrifice, another sacrifice. Hundreds of thousands of animals are sacrificed every year in Israel as an ongoing sacrifice to pay the price of people's sins so that they would be forgiven. But a bull isn't a big enough sacrifice to cover one person's sin for their lifetime. It required multiple sacrifices for every person who lived there. So it wasn't a very satisfactory solution. God's timing, and as we know, when the time came, Jesus was sent. And it's mind-boggling that God could do that. And some of us have children in their 20s to 30s, fine young sons, fine young men, who could send their son out into the firing line knowing they're going to be killed just to save some other people? Could anyone do it? I couldn't. But that's what God did for us. God sent the most precious being that he had, his only begotten Son. Not created, but begotten. And so Jesus came because people kept on sinning, more sacrifices, another. But Jesus came as the one big sacrifice. And he was the substitute. He took the punishment. He identified with the sin of all of us for all time. All the billions of people who will ever live. There are 6 billion on this planet at the moment, roughly. I haven't counted them lately. But, you know, the generations that have gone by just in Bible times. Is one working? Yes. What on earth? Hello? Yeah, we're there. Okay. Thank you, Colin. Right. So, you know, in John 12, see, God doesn't condemn us as such. I just found this, John 12:47-48. I'll read it to you. As for the person who hears my words, this is Jesus speaking, hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. Yeah, it's the words that Jesus spoke. It's God's truth. And it's as if you aren't saved, after you die, you meet Jesus and you just cannot bear to face him. And you turn to the darkness. If any of you have written the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe series by Lewis, it talks about a sort of end time where you've got people streaming up to a doorway and one goes through into eternity with Jesus and the other, or with Aslan, and the other just goes into darkness. Those who cannot bear to look on his face. It's as if they're so ashamed of their own burden of sin, they just cannot bear to face his goodness, his glory. And so that's why we need to make this conscious decision to accept Jesus. We need to repent. We need to give our lives to the Lord. We have to acknowledge that sacrifice. Because God loves us to bits, but this barrier of sin between us and him has to be dealt with if we're going to break through. So I know a lot of you know this, but this basic stuff, but just remind you of the importance of it. That, you know, in years gone by, if somebody saved your life, you owed that person your life. These days it's shrugged off, doesn't mean anything. But they were serious about that. If you owed somebody your life, sometimes they'd give up what they were doing and go and work for that person for the rest of their lives. They'd be devoted to them. And in a way, that's how we need to be with Jesus. He has saved our eternal lives, not just our earthly lives. And he's just saying, you know, come on, love me, be devoted to me. Heaven is yours. The gate is open for you. Come on in. And so that the form of prayer for newcomers to faith is, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you that Jesus went to the cross to take my punishment. I'm sorry for all I've ever done wrong, Lord. Thank you that Jesus took that punishment for me. Please forgive me, God. And God says, of course I do. Come on in. Sin dealt with. End of story. And we don't keep revisiting it. Oh, what about such and such? It's gone. It's dealt with. Slate wiped clean. We can get so burdened with old stuff because the devil keeps whispering in our ears, oh, do you remember so and so? What wicked things you did? And you flick him off your shoulder. Get lost. Old Nick. I'm just sorry, Lord, for that. And that rebuilds the relationship with God. That relationship is restored. It's healed. And some people did start with very rough lives and God has just turned them round. There's a man called Phil Marries who is a team leader on the Through Faith Missions up in Cumbria. And before, I mean, he's a big lad, sort of 6'2", heavily built, looks like an ex-greaser, and he probably was. And he said, when I was in my early 20s, my idea of fun on a Friday and Saturday night was to go downtown, have a few beers and start some fights and see how many people I could damage before the police arrived. And this was a regular entertainment for him. He said, I'm not proud of this. But what turned me round was one night somebody got knifed. And that shook me to the core. It could have been me using the knife. Or it could have been me on the receiving end of that knife. And that's when he turned to God. And he became a Christian. And he was ordained a minister a few months ago. So God can take people from one extreme to another. And some of, you know, I'm sure we've got our own testimony stories of how we used to be and where God has brought us now. Alpha News from 2009. This man called Shane Taylor, who's 27 then, he's one of the most dangerous people in the British prison system. And he would attack the prison wardens, the guards. And he got so violent that they wanted him out of his cell. There'd be 5 or 6 men, wardens, in riot gear to go and get him and drag him out because he'd be so deadly violent. And he started getting into trouble at 13 when he was sent to a secure unit, into burglary and goodness knows what. But one day he found himself being taken along by a friend to an alpha course at the prison, and gradually it sunk in. Suddenly it went click, and he had a powerful experience of Jesus. And he became like a pussycat, you know, and these wardens thought he was mucking them about and started teasing him and about his faith with some quite foul language too. And he said to him, listen, would you have dared to speak to me like this last week? I said, "Phew, no." He said, well, there you are then. And his life was turned around because the sacrifice of Jesus took that stain away. The relationship with God was restored, and he was a changed man. Relationships healed. And he's been back to see the people that he wronged and has apologized to them and restored those broken relationships. So that is quite an amazing story. So when we come to Christ, those relationships with God, Jesus, are restored, and we start to restore relationships with others. Before I became a Christian, I was very self-centered. We all carry baggage from the past. I'm not proud to say I upset a lot of people along the way. It cost me my first marriage. But then Jesus came into my life on the birth of my son, Jonathan. And I just had to go to church the day after he was born. I drove past it 3 times trying to pluck up the courage to go in, because all those years I denied it. Oh, rubbish. And I just sat at the back of the service and I cried. The tears just ran down my cheeks. And Joan Hobbs, who was the lay reader taking the course, she just quietly ignored me. But, you know, she and my wife have been praying for me behind my back for 3 years. Prayer does work. So I didn't tell Lena for a week. I said, do you know where I went last Sunday? No, dear, where did you go? I went to church. And she burst into tears. I said, I thought you'd be pleased. I am pleased. I thought, I'll never understand women, but I'm getting there. So that's a summary, really, of what sacrifice is about, and how seriously we need to take it. I hope it helped you to understand a bit more some of the depths of it, and the extent to which it was necessary, and what it means to us. And the service this morning, and communion, and the songs around it just said, yes, this is what the Lord wants me to talk about this evening. So this is the first one that I haven't written out in full. It's just one sheet of paper. I've been reading about trusting in the Lord, so I hope it was okay. Okay, let's just pray.